Hello there, and welcome to the Good Friday edition of Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak, and I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Today, we're going to look at it's a tough day. We're going to look at the death of Jesus, the suffering, the death of Christ, but with an eye on the future. You know, we know how this story turns out, and we're gonna focus on the value of suffering today. And I just want to give you hope. I want to give you hope and let you know, while not ignoring the suffering of Christ and not ignoring the suffering that we may be going through right now, we want to maintain our hope. We want to enter into the suffering. We want to accept it. We want to appreciate it. We want to join with the Lord in his agony. But along with him, we want to be confident that one day this is all going to turn around. Things will get better. And in fact, that's what I have as the heading for my Give Up Worry for Lent reflection this day. It will get better. And that's my message to you as we start this program. It will get better. But for the time being, let's focus on what we're supposed to focus on today, the suffering of Christ, and how we, when we suffer, grow closer to him than by anything else we could ever do. Not a popular message, but I'll tell you, it is one that will bring you peace. I guarantee it. And we'll explore that throughout the show. So I'm just so glad that you can be with me today. It's always such a pleasure when I can get to spend this time with you. I feel your presence. I really do. And I thank you for being a part of this show. It means so much to me. So with that in mind, let's turn to our Lord on this day when he, out of love, sacrificed his life and endured an unimaginable amount of pain. He sacrificed his life for you and for me so that we could live with him forever. Let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day, on this Good Friday, we recognize your suffering and your agonizing death on the cross for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We know you didn't do it because you wanted to do it. You did it for us. We know you didn't do it because you needed it. We needed it. Help us, Lord, with the help of your Holy Spirit today, to better appreciate just how much we needed you to redeem us, and also just how much you love us. We often forget that, Lord. We look at a crucifix, we hear the story of your passion, and we blame other people. Other people put you to death, and it happened so many years ago. But we forget that our church teaches that we're responsible for your death. Help us to understand that, Lord, while not plunging into despair, because we know that your mercy is infinite. And any evil that we have done or will ever do is forgivable. Please help us to remember that, Lord. We pray, Lord, for continued protection from the coronavirus. We pray for its abrupt end. We know that you can wipe it out, Lord, and we beg you for an end to this virus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing our prayers. We ask, Lord, for your mercy on anyone who will die today. We pray, Lord, for relief from suffering for anyone who is suffering from the coronavirus or any other ailment for that matter. We pray for their complete and total healing. We know that you can do it, but we also accept your will. Your timing, your will is really what matters. But we ask you for this healing for each of these individuals. We pray for peace for anyone who is suffering right now with anxiety, overcome by panic or terror. We pray for their peace. And Jesus, finally, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Please give me the words that I may be able to speak your message on this program today. And please open our minds and hearts to be receptive to what it is that you have to say, and be willing, Lord, to follow after you, to go wherever you lead us, even when it involves pain and suffering. We pray that we never desert you again, even though we've done it in the past. And pray for the strength to do that, because by ourselves we're not going to be able to do this. So please send us a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit today to be able to strengthen us and to persevere even when we feel like quitting. Jesus, we ask this in your mighty and powerful name. As you present these requests to your Father through the Holy Spirit, amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I want to thank you for tuning into the show. I am Gary Zimak, and you are listening to Following the Truth. I mentioned at the beginning that we're going to be talking about Good Friday today. I had a lot of different ideas about where I should go with this. Originally, I thought maybe I should read one of the accounts of the Passion. Then I thought, well, should I do Stations of the Cross? And really, sometimes when you do that on a radio program like this, it loses something, and you tend to zone out sometimes listening to it. I just didn't think it was where I was supposed to go with this. And then I took a look at this meditation from Give Up Worry for Lent, and I thought, you know, this is where I think the Spirit is leading me today. The idea that it will get better. Let me read the verse that this is based on, the one that I reflected on in Give Up Worry for Lent. This is the reflection for Good Friday. It comes from Romans chapter 8, St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 18. I'll read this verse, and then I'll talk a little bit more about it and how it relates to suffering, the suffering of Jesus, our own personal suffering, and why this is very hopeful. Romans 8:18, the words of St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I'm going to read it again. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, I think this is a great verse for so many different reasons, because, first of all, St. Paul acknowledges the sufferings of the present time. You know, today it's Good Friday. The last thing we should do is gloss over what Jesus did on the cross. And the events leading up to the cross, not just on the cross. His passion began when he was arrested and beaten and tortured and humiliated and made to carry the cross. I mean, he endured tremendous physical and emotional suffering even before he was crucified. And then he hung on the cross and agonized. So I think it would be a real mistake to try to gloss over the suffering. And honestly, sometimes if you look at many crucifixes that you see, it looks very clean. It looks a little too clean, and I think sometimes that does a disservice to Jesus, who suffered immensely. I've seen a lot of crucifixes where I'm not seeing the suffering, and then I've seen others and other statues of a beaten and bloody Jesus. And, you know, while I would rather not look at that, it takes me to maybe a place where I need to go sometimes. In other words, he paid a severe price for my sins. And in his suffering, in his physical and mental torment and torture, I can see how much he loves me. So we want to realize, we want to remember today on this Good Friday, the suffering of Jesus. Not just 2,000 years ago, which was real and painful, but the suffering that continues in his body, the church, to this day. You don't need me to tell you that people are suffering. You are suffering in some way right now. We all are. Some worse than others. But there is very real suffering going on in the world today. Certainly, if we look at hospitals right now, we see tons of suffering. Physical, painful, strong suffering. We also see a lot of emotional suffering. So the suffering continues today. So the first message that I would get from this verse from St. Paul is that sufferings exist in this present time. Yes, we have suffering. You have suffering right now. Now, before I give you the good news, let's accept it. We have suffering right now. There is suffering right now. Now, St. Paul goes on to say, he considers that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. What lies ahead is going to completely blow away, in a good way, any suffering that we could face. Now, let's just look at it in terms of the passion of Jesus. His suffering on the cross resulted, and his death, his suffering and death on the cross resulted in the gates of heaven being opened up for you and me. We were redeemed by his suffering. So you see, there's a positive there. And our Lord knew that. And Scripture tells us that for the joy that lie beyond the cross, he was able to endure his suffering. He knew what he was doing, and he did it for you. So you, and keeping you in mind, and he knows you individually. See, I think we forget that sometimes. Knowing that strengthened him, and he was able to do that. And I'm sure you can relate to this in some way. You ever do something out of love for somebody? Even do the dishes when you don't feel like it, or throw in a load of wash or something like that? Or change a smelly diaper? I mean, I did plenty of those along with my wife, but we didn't do it because we liked it. And when you do something like that, when you keep in mind that you're doing it for love, it makes it a little easier, doesn't it? And these are relatively simple examples that I'm giving. These aren't that hard. I mean, we're talking about what Jesus endured on the cross for us. What an act of love. But he was able to look beyond the physical pain of the present moment and keep going forward. He could have stopped it at any time. I think we got to recognize that. The crosses in my life, for the most part, I don't have a choice. I can't just make them go away. Now, I can choose how I can respond to them, but I can't make them go away. I can't make this coronavirus thing vanish. I can't do that on my own. But I can choose how I respond. God gave me free will. So even if I can't fix the problem, I can choose to embrace whatever cross that I've been given. But Jesus, on the other hand, could have come down from the cross. And in fact, he was taunted to do so. But he didn't. What kept him up there? The love that he has for you is what kept him up there. So what St. Paul reminds us of the fact is of the fact that any suffering that we endure in the present moment, any suffering that we are going through, one day is going to be outweighed by the joy that awaits us in the future. And that's why I chose this heading for this meditation: It Will Get Better. When and how, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't know about that. We have to be honest. We don't know when it will get better. We do not know. And when I wrote this, I obviously had no idea what we would be going through with this pandemic. When I said it will get better, and when I put it out on Facebook today, it will get better, I don't know what that means and what it'll look like, but I do know it will get better. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, looking beyond Good Friday, looking beyond the waiting period of Holy Saturday. You know, sometimes it doesn't get better immediately. So his pain was over on Good Friday when he physically died, but there was a waiting period before he rose from the dead. So there is an end to pain, and then there's a wait, and then there's the good thing. So it will get better at some point in time. How? Again, that's not for me to say. I just don't know. And I think the way to endure this suffering that we're going through right now, and there's a very good chance that as you listen to this, you're saying that, man, the coronavirus, that's the least of my problems. People are still suffering from cancer and from loneliness and from financial difficulties completely unconnected to the coronavirus. You know, there's a lot of suffering, a lot of different kinds of suffering going on right now. So for me to say to you, it will get better, I think I got to do a little bit more than that. And when I was praying today, it came to me that in order for me to be able to say that it will get better to you, I've got to ask you to expand your vision of life. I think so many times what we do is we focus on life, our life, as being from the time we're born until the day we die. So we'll hear something like, this will get better, or this will pass, or we'll get through this, and we automatically think it will be in our lifetime. Just a matter of time, and everything will be hunky-dory. Sometimes it's not that way. And I'm not trying to bring you down, but I want to just tell you something, that because you might be suffering with terminal cancer right now, and it might not be God's will for you to be physically healed. You know, I'm not going to lie to you, because that would completely present an unfair and distorted message. So when I say to you, it will be better, or it will get better, or when St. Paul says that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, the implication is not that it will necessarily get better in this lifetime. It might, but it might not. But here's the deal, and this is where you can get all kinds of peace if you look at it this way. Life, our life, your life, my life, doesn't begin when we're born and end when we die. Our life begins when we are conceived. That's when our life begins. When does it end? It doesn't. See, that's the key. As a Christian, I believe that once I'm created, I'm going to last forever. I was created eternally. So my life is not confined to the 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years that I spend on this planet. That's not my whole life. That's a part of it. But when you compare it to eternity, it's a relatively small part of it. And I think that even though it goes against everything that we're taught or trained to do or trained to think of from an early age, thinking of life as being well beyond what we see on this earth is the way to experience peace. When you do that, we can believe with full confidence that at some point in time, this problem that you are struggling with on earth, no matter how painful it would be, it will be gone. It is temporary. It will get better. Now, it could be that this problem, whatever it may be, might be gone a week from now. Could be gone tomorrow. I don't know. The point is, it will be gone a week, a month from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, maybe at the end of your life. But at some point, this problem, not just the coronavirus, any problem that you face now going forward, it will be gone one day. It is temporary. It will get better. What awaits you in heaven is so much better than anything you can ever experience in this life, that it's worth the wait. And hang on to that hope. That's why I like this verse. Because that hope of something better, that life with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit and all the angels and saints, eternal life in heaven with no pain, no struggles, no anxiety, that's worth it. But because we can't see it, because we've never been there, because we don't understand it, we need faith to be able to appreciate it. And my prayer for you today is that you can begin to look at your life as going well beyond the time you spend on this earth, and realize that no matter what you're experiencing right now, it's temporary. So with that in mind, I don't think we should stop there, because you're given a great opportunity right now. And I know this is hard to accept. When you're going through suffering right now, it's really hard to accept this, but it doesn't change the truth. The fact that it's not easy to accept doesn't change the truth. And if you just bear with me, I think it will help. In Colossians 1:24, St. Paul tells us that in our sufferings, we complete what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. And we've talked about this before on the show. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is complete. There's nothing we can add to it. He did his job. He did everything that had to be done to redeem us. However, you and me are part of his mystical body. As members of the church, we are part of the body of Christ. And that is a hard concept to wrap our brain around, because sometimes we look at each other and we don't feel or look like Christ, do we? So to think that us as a church, as the mystical body of Christ, is we constitute Christ, all of us together, his mystical body, to think of that, it really stretches our brain. We have to really stretch our brain. And again, think with faith and understand that we're not going to really fully comprehend all of this. However, Christ did his part, the head. He's the head of the church. We're the body, right? We all make up the rest of his body. We all have a part to play in the redemption of mankind. He is allowing us. He didn't have to, but he's allowing us to unite our suffering with his. Again, he's doing most of the work. He's doing the vast majority. You and me, we could just do a little bit. But again, you got to remember, this has to be an act of the will. It's not automatic. The fact that you're suffering doesn't automatically save souls. Your suffering can be wasted. And what a shame that would be. However, remember I said we all have free will. Nothing, no suffering, no financial devastation, nothing in life can take away your free will. So you, while you're suffering, while you are undergoing this temporary suffering, because remember, it's not going to last forever, you have a golden opportunity to say, Jesus, I unite my suffering with your tremendous suffering on the cross. In other words, let's go up on that cross together, Lord. I'm with you. Let's do this. I want to help you to save souls. And you may have a great role in saving the soul of a family member, a friend, somebody in a faraway country that you'll never meet whose soul would have been lost without you offering up your suffering. You have that golden opportunity. And once your tremendous suffering passes, you're going to lose some of that opportunity. There will always be a chance to offer up some suffering. You're always going to have some suffering in your life. But if you really are being tortured right now, if it's really excruciating, you've got a golden opportunity. Because the value of offering up extreme suffering is going to exceed a minor inconvenience. So if you've got it, now is the day to say, Jesus, as I think about your suffering on this Good Friday, I want to do more than just say, poor Jesus. I want to say, Lord, I want to go with you. I got this suffering. Let's use it. And that's the chance that we have today. So our suffering is temporary, but let's look at it as an opportunity, a call to action to not waste the suffering, right? To capitalize on what you've been given. And today, while the suffering lasts, because it won't last forever, in other words, remember, it will get better, to say, Jesus, I'm going to unite what I have, what I'm going through with your suffering, and not complain about it. And by doing so, not only could you be saving the soul of somebody you know or somebody who really needs it, you're also going to be consoling Jesus and bringing him some comfort. So there are so many reasons why we should do this. So do that today. Let's together, you and me, let's offer up whatever suffering we have today at this moment in time. And then tomorrow, if the Lord gives you another day, offer up whatever you have tomorrow as well. And just keep that going. And then it's not wasted. Then it's not just suffering in vain. This is what we call redemptive suffering. The Catholic Church gives such good meaning, or such important meaning to suffering, because it's redemptive. And again, this is completely biblical. Colossians 1:24, read it right there. That's where this comes from. So let's do that today. Let's remember tomorrow, Holy Saturday, that's the day we wait. And then Sunday, let's celebrate that resurrection of Jesus Christ. That resurrection is not dependent on external circumstances. Now, before I run out of time, I want to let you know, make sure you get a hold of my weekly podcast, The Gary Zimak Show, and that's going to be addressing the resurrection. I do that show each week. That focuses on Sunday's mass reading. So Sunday's the resurrection. We're going to be talking about the fact that the Lord is risen. You can get that podcast at all the traditional podcast outlets. For more information, just go to followingthetruth.com. You'll find out about all my work, including that podcast. That's one thing. The other thing is next week on the show, we're going to really hit the Easter readings pretty hard. And you got some good ones next week. So I really hope you'll be able to do that as we celebrate the octave of Easter. And then we're into the Easter season. So you're going to be getting a lot of good, positive, uplifting messages in the weeks to come. Today, let's not dismiss what our Lord went through. We want to dwell on the suffering a little bit, knowing that it's going to go away. But we certainly don't want to forget what he's done and what role we have to play. Does that sound good? All right. It has been my absolute honor to be with you, not just today, but throughout the week. Please let your friends know about this program. And if you're able to help me financially to keep my show running and my ministry afloat, you go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate. I would really appreciate it. The only reason I'm here, the only reason I can do this show is because of your generosity. If you haven't donated yet, and you're able to, I'm not asking you to do anything you can't do. Please don't put your own self in jeopardy. But if you're able to, maybe become a monthly sponsor for $10 or $25, whatever you can afford a month, that would help me to keep going. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Just click on donate. I want to say enjoy the rest of this Good Friday. I know there's a somber tone to it, but remember, it's going to end. The good news is that Jesus will rise from the dead. Let's thank him for loving us so much that he was willing to suffer. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, God willing. I plan to be back here on Monday, and I hope you will join me as well. Take care. Have a happy Easter, and we'll talk to you soon.